Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, and here's a little quiz. It's really easy. Name one thing that your mother or father cooked for you when you were a little kid.
Peanut butter and lettuce sandwiches.
Sunday breakfast my mother used to make, consisting of ackee and saltfish with cornmeal dumplings.
Now think of one thing that grandma cooked for you.
My maternal grandmother was famous in the family for many dishes, but her latkes were number one.
There are lots of ways that we share family memories down through the generations. We tell stories, we take pictures, but food is one of the most important. My grandmother told stories all the time, but to this day, we still eat her recipes when we sit down at the holidays. Food, of course, is part of the flavor of our lives, just like it was for our parents. We've asked you, and you've been sharing some of the flavors from your lives with us.
Hey guys, this is Deb from Holiday. I'm German from Minnesota. So scalloped potatoes with ham and also sautéed potatoes with onions. Both totally heart healthy.
This is Darryl Rojas calling from Charlottesville, Virginia. And my comment is cornbread, good old Birmingham cornbread made in the black skillet pot. Ain't had that since grandma passed away in 96.
Oh man, it all sounds so good, except maybe the peanut butter and lettuce sandwiches, I have to say. But now our friend Dan Pashman, host of the Sporkful podcast, is launching a new four-part series. It's called Your Mom's Food, and it's all about culture and food traditions that get passed down or sometimes get lost through the generations. The series kicks off with a look at how parents of adopted kids from other countries use food to try to make cultural connections, and it doesn't always go how they'd hoped. Dan Pashman, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
So tell me about the new series.
Well, as you said, it's called Your Mom's Food. And, you know, it's really about the complications that can come up when we try to pass our culture on from one generation to another. In the first episode, we look at the issue of adoption. In some of the later episodes, we talk about what happens when two people from very different backgrounds get married and have to figure out what kind of food is going to be their food. What happens when one of the people maybe feels like they gave up more than the other? And then what do they feed their kids? And these are really kind of universal questions when families grow and evolve over time and as traditions get passed down or get lost.
Well, everybody eats, and you've been spending time hanging out with a bunch of families of adoptive children from other countries, as I mentioned. What did you find out?
Well, I mean, we especially wanted to use this issue to look at some complicated questions of race and culture. And so in the first episode, I spent some time with a group of families who are all single moms who've adopted kids from Ethiopia. Ethiopia recently barred international adoption because of issues with fraud. But for a long time, Ethiopia was the only country that would let single parents adopt. And so you have these groups, this group on Long Island that I hung out with, of moms who get together with their kids once a month, and they often will cook Ethiopian food. Even though none of the parents are from anywhere in Africa, they are trying to learn to cook Ethiopian food because they want to help their adopted kids connect with their birthplace. And food is a really powerful way to do that. You know, in a previous generation, the prevailing wisdom around adoption was often that you wanted to try to, if you adopt a kid from another country, you wanted to try to assimilate them into your family as much as possible. And that led to a lot of, I mean, I'm generalizing a bit here, obviously, but that led to a lot of hurt feelings and even whitewashing, which I think the current wisdom around international adoption is moving in another direction.
Well, you spoke to one woman named Mary who adopted two Ethiopian girls. Now, she went and met their birth mother, and here's what she had to say.
When I spoke to their mother, I felt guilty that I was taking somebody's children, I think. The biggest promise was to send the letters and the pictures, but I also felt, you know, she gave me such a big gift that it was important for me to, you know, return that to her and to make sure that these girls really felt, that, you know, knew where they came from and appreciated it.
Dan Pashman, there's Mary talking about part of the reason why she was cooking Ethiopian food for her girls.
So Mary has two daughters. They're 11 and 13 now, Diknesh and Tikdem, and they had a culture day in their school recently, and they brought in Ethiopian honey bread. And Mary also printed out pictures of Ethiopia to send in with the girls. And the girls were excited about the honey bread, but they were not quite so excited about the pictures.
I wasn't really nervous about bringing in the bread so much, but like my mom had printed out pictures of like African culture and like pictures of what it's like there. And I was just like, I don't want to bring this in. I didn't want her to make it at all, but she still made it.
One of the challenges that we talk a little bit about in this first episode of this Sporkful series is that these two girls they're the only Ethiopian or African kids in their school. There aren't that many people of color at all in their school district. And so, you know, that's something that Mary worries about, Mary, their mother. And that's, you know, it's, in some ways, these are universal parenting questions. In some ways, this is unique to their situation.
You also spent some time with some adult children who had been adopted from Korea.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Todd. So there was a huge influx of Korean adoptees to America over a period of about 60 years, actually the largest adoption exodus from one country in history from the 1950s up until about a decade ago. And as a result, because so many Korean adoptees came to America, these Korean culture camps sprung up around the country. And these were places where a family that had adopted kids from Korea might go for a week in the summertime, the whole family, and learn about Korean culture. And a big part of that would be Korean food. They would make mandu, Korean dumplings. They'd have japchae, glass noodles. And as part of the series, we spoke with two adult Korean adoptees who grew up going to these culture camps, connecting with Korean food in a somewhat similar way that these Ethiopian kids today are connecting with their heritage. And yet those adult Korean adoptees, when they left home, got older, they still felt like it wasn't enough. They still felt like they had more questions than answers.
I think I always sensed that, like, the food at that camp was dumbed down for, like, an American palate, for more our white parents than for us.
Dan, that's Skylar, one of the adoptees that you talked about. But, you know, we had on Rebecca Carroll of WNYC a couple of weeks ago talking about how hard it can be for white adoptive parents who adopt African-American kids to convey or even think about authentic Black experience when they're raising those kids. And it seems like when adoptive kids come from a completely different culture, a completely different country, that can even add to that.
Yeah, yes. I mean, that's certainly, you know, one of the sort of big points that we got to in this episode was the idea that as much as we like to think that adoption is this sort of fairy tale narrative of a multicultural family that lives together in harmony, and yes, that is often true, but also adoption is inextricably tied to trauma and loss. And it's both of those things at once. And the adult adoptees in our series talk about that, and that it wasn't really till they left home and actually went to Korea and sought out their birth families that they truly understood that.
The new podcast is Your Mom's Food. Dan, did you eat lots of great food along the way making this?
We did. We always managed to somehow work a good feeding into our tapings, Todd.
Dan Pashman is the host of the Sporkful podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts, and the new series, Your Mom's Food. Dan, thanks.
Thank you, Todd.